All right. Hello, hello, and welcome, everybody. Welcome. So excited to see you this evening. Let's see. I got to get my camera here. Let's see. It's not quite right. Let me just adjust this for a sec. You know what? Let's get rid of it. We'll just use the regular. Although that's not working either. Bear with me for 1 second, guys, okay? Having a little technical issue here. That I think, all right, there we go, fixed. All right, so welcome. I'm so happy to see everyone here today, tonight, wherever you are in the country. And we have a special treat. I really am just so excited that you guys get to experience Barb Wade this evening. And I've known Barb for a long time. Many of you have actually talked with Barb. She's a good friend of mine. I've known Barb for, like I said, gosh, years now, numerous years. And let's see. Barb, no, we cannot hear you. Let me unmute you. Oh, there we go. Yeah, so I've known Barb for a long time, and she offered to do this very special call for us tonight. And it's incredibly timely given everything that's going on in the world around us. Certainly when it comes to mindset. So without further ado, I'm actually going to go ahead and just read her bio real quick, and then I'm going to hand it on over to Barb and let her take it away. All right. So Barb Wade, MA, is a transformational coach, speaker, and author who works with high achievers to release the patterns, fears, and obstacles that have been keeping them from settling less for what they truly want most. So Barb helps her clients to redefine success based on their authentic values and priorities, not the external shoulds and expectations, and create exceptional real-world results in life and work. Barb speaks frequently at conferences and on industry panels, has been featured on ABC, NBC, CBS News, and Fox, and was the official on-air life coach for the Fine Living Channel for 8 years. So with all that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it on over to Barb. Barb, welcome. We're really happy to have you. Thank you so much for doing this special call for us.
Oh, my pleasure. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah,
we can hear you. It's giving me an option to change the name to my name on here. So I am just going to do that for one moment.
And I'm gonna put Barb. Look like Tim. I know Tim, and the two of you do not look alike.
Absolutely. Well, boy, that's so funny. The formal bio, you know, the formal bio someone reads, and I'm like, just like, All right. You know, the bottom line is I'm here. I love what we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm happy to help. And, you know, what's so interesting is that we planned this call a month ago. I mean, before all the changes regarding this pandemic in the last month. It's not that I don't think it was starting to get into the consciousness of the country maybe about a month ago in a small way. But I would say that tonight's call is really, really perfectly timed. And I'm so honored. I'm so grateful to be able to talk to you tonight. Because tonight we're going to talk a lot about fear, and we're going to talk about doubt, and we're going to talk about the ways that these things can run us. And my goal is to take you through some processes and some tools to really be able to separate out what is a voice of fear and what is a voice of love or trust, and give you some mastery and some support around how do I make decisions? How do I recognize what's driving me, you know, and how do I make the love-based decisions, the trust and faith-based decisions when it does feel like things are kind of crashing down. It does feel like we have a lot of uncertainty. So what I want to do is have tonight be really participatory. So there'll definitely be time where we're going to stop and we're going to talk, and I'll ask people to share. And it's all going to be also completely confidential, because, you know, I'd really like people to go deep tonight when I discuss with you some of the things that are bubbling up for people. And I very much want you to know this is a safe space. So, you know, this is only for the people in the Academy. A couple people who can't be here live will get the recording, but that's it. It's not going to anybody else. So I'd love to have an agreement of of participation, if you'd be willing, and it'll help you get to know each other better. I also just want to say I appreciate those of you who are courageous enough to have your video on, and I know not everybody can have your video on. If you can, I certainly prefer it. If you're able to turn on the video so we can see you and bond as a group, I certainly prefer if you can. If you can't, I get it. Some people I know are just on phones, you know, whatever. Hi! But I appreciate it very much. It makes me feel like I'm talking to a community of real people. So yeah, love that. All right. So we're in a crisis in many ways right now, obviously, in terms of what's going on with this virus. And I really want to talk about that first and foremost, because it is a time where you guys may be seeing a lot of people on social media posting these pep talks. Has anybody seen these posts about how this is an amazing opportunity and, you know, this is Mother Earth, you know, giving us our reckoning to evolve as a species. And the funny thing is, I actually agree with all that. So I'm not meaning to make fun of it. I agree with all that, that there's a huge opportunity here. I agree that there's a global transformation that's going to have to happen. But I also want to give voice that we have different parts of ourselves. I also want to give voice that there are parts of us that might be very frightened right now, that might be very scared about what's going to happen. I'll tell you that I personally have two teenagers and I have aging parents. And as much as I want this to turn into this, you know, hopefully this miraculous call to wake up to the planet, as much as I want it to turn into people reevaluating values and priorities and us coming on the other side of this and realizing what a global community we're all in and how we're all in this together, I also am terrified sometimes and really hoping that my mom and dad, who I love, or me personally, that I don't have to die as a part of this lesson, because people are dying as a part of this lesson happening. Does that make sense? So I'm holding two parts of myself. I'm holding a part of myself that knows at a deep level we're going to come through the other side of this and really believe society will be forced to evolve as a result. And yet I'm holding a part of myself as well that sometimes is like, but I hope I don't have to, or my mom or my dad or my kids don't have to be one of the ones who has to suffer or even has to pass away for this lesson to be learned. So I'm holding two awarenesses, right? Does that make sense? Not. It makes me feel like I'm not completely crazy. Okay, good. So the reason I bring that up is we have different parts of ourselves, right? We have different parts of ourselves. I can have the most spiritually evolved part of myself. I can have the most young, fearful, afraid, little girl part of myself. I can have the inner critic that's constantly judging me and criticizing me and telling me what I should be doing differently. There are various pieces to us. And a phrase I use a lot with my clients has to do with who's in the driver's seat. Who's in the driver's seat? So who's making the decisions? It doesn't mean we sublimate those other parts. It's just a question of who do we choose to be in the driver's seat around how we live our lives. Does that make sense in concept? Okay. So there's no shame in feeling scared right now around what's going on in the world. There's no shame in, I heard this great term today. It was called pandemic productivity pressure. And it was like, I think I'm saying it right, productivity pressure, coronavirus productivity pressure, something like that. Like people who are like thinking they need to be setting up a schedule and like getting their kids at the kitchen table at a certain time and getting them started and then serving their clients. And then at the same time, like reaching over here and cooking an organic meal three times a day for their family while they're walking the dog, like, and how we're moving into this, you know, craziness of trying to juggle so much. And how much we're failing and then beating ourselves up for it, assuming everybody else. Have you guys seen these little, you know, things going around where people are saying, here's how I've structured our family's day. We take a walk at 8 o'clock and by 8:30, my children are doing their social studies while I'm making an organic grit casserole. You know, oh my gosh, at least Kara's laughing. All right. Anyway, the bottom line is it's really okay to be stumbling right now. And I really want to have an honest conversation. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be nervous. It's okay to be like, you know, putting in a frozen pizza. All right. Especially not good for first responders to hear that, Barbara says. Anyway, so what I wanted to share though, is that it's also a really good time to make some smart decisions. There is a lot of opportunity now, and this is where we're going to take tonight's call. Which part of you is going to be in the driver's seat without exiling other parts of you, without operating on top of other parts of you, like denying them and stuffing them down? But how can you move into your most confident, talented, spiritual selves and decide how to approach the world as it occurs today on March 30th with so many unknowns ahead? All right, so let's talk about fear, shame, doubt, and self-judgment. And I have no handouts, but we're going to do an exercise that's going to require you to have a notebook and a big piece of paper, like a regular, 8.5 by 11, but a piece of paper. So be sure you have a notebook or a journal or something. So the four culprits I want to start with are those four: fear, shame, doubt, and self-judgment. Now, those are all variances of kind of the same thing. They just kind of wear different wrapping paper, all right? So when we're in fear, what happens? We make constricted decisions. We operate from scarcity. We want to grab things that will assure us a sense of certainty. When we're in shame, we want to hide, right? When we're in shame, we want to hide. We don't want anyone to see our horribleness for fear they would reject us. In doubt, we get afraid to take risks, right? We have self-doubt. I'm afraid to take risks. I don't know if I'm going to be good at getting clients. I don't know if I can deliver to them what I sold them. Like, holy crap, I just sold a $3,000 package and now I have to deliver it. Has anybody ever felt that way? Because when I was early in my career and people started saying yes to my packages, I was so excited for 5 minutes. Right? And then I'm like, oh my God, I got to deliver this now and I got to be excellent. So these are very human things. And then self-judgment is the part of us that's always saying, why did you say that? You should have said this differently. And I feel like we grow up like learning these things. And especially, it's interesting, it's coincidental that everyone seems to be female tonight on the call. I know a lot of health professionals, dietitians, nutritionists, functional practitioners are women. I know you've had co-ed groups before, Leslie, but I'll just say, as women, I feel like we grow up learning about these four things from personal experience. I don't know anybody that hasn't had some issues with fear, shame, doubt, and self-judgment. Would you guys agree? Okay, good. All right, fabulous. Well, when we're in those places, what do you think we're likely to do? Well, we're likely to either get paralyzed and do nothing, or we're likely to make decisions that are short-sighted and impulsive. And I don't want you to do either one, because paralysis makes us feel worse the longer we stay paralyzed. I've gone through depression and I've gone through fear and phases of my life where I got so paralyzed, but then it compounded. The more I couldn't take action, the more I was stuck, the more I was afraid, the more I was discouraged. It became this bigger weight on my shoulders. I've also been in places in my life where I grabbed a decision out of fear. I hired a coach once, and Leslie knows this story, who was a huge, huge bully, like a really nasty bullying type of coach. But she was going to teach me how to hit seven figures. And I needed that. I was so afraid because of what was going on in our family and the economy that I grabbed this person that if I were in a sane, loving, self-advocating place, I would never have allowed myself to be mentored by somebody who would shame me or bully me. Right? So that's an example in my own life. And that was a big learning experience. And I actually made a shit ton of money with this coach, but I was in an abusive relationship until I wasn't, until I walked away and said, this is my life. I am not just a product of you being able to tout, you've got another seven figure business or owner, So I share with you tonight that which I am continuing to go through and have gone through and will continue to go through as part of being human. All right, so what I want to do is talk about a concept now, and then we're going to move into an exercise and some discussion. That it's so important that we recognize who's talking of these different parts of self. I mentioned this before. And that we not say, I feel, but that we say, a part of me feels. And I'd love you to write this down. Please write down a handful of things tonight. Later, you can decide if they resonate with you, if you want to use them, or if you don't. I don't mind. It's all up to what resonates and supports you. But that's something I would write down instead of, oh my God, I'm so afraid right now. Oh my God, what if I never get clients? I'm so convinced I'm not good enough. I'm so convinced I'm never going to do this. I shouldn't have even tried to hang out my own shingle and start a business. I'd rather you come to me and say, oh my God, there is a part of me that is so worried that I'm a fraud and I'm not going to be successful and I never should have done this. Do you see the difference in saying a part of me? It might even be the loudest part, but a part of me right now is so frightened that allows that there's another part of you, that allows there are other parts of you. That's not the whole of you that is terrified or depressed or in fear. Is that making sense? It's a switch in language, but hopefully it's helpful. All right, so what I'm going to do for a minute is I'm going to ask you guys in terms of this exercise, I want you to think, if you will, and I'll give you some time to think of it, of something that's occurred recently. My kids are texting from upstairs without realizing we're on a call, but they'll get it. You know, life on life's terms, right? Real life. Anyway, I want you to think of something recently that maybe you're feeling upset about. You're feeling some self-judgment about. You should have done something differently that you didn't do a certain way that you wish you'd done differently, or something that didn't happen that we wanted to have happen. I'm looking for something that is still upsetting you, triggering you. It doesn't have to be about the virus. We're going to pull back to current day. In this call, we're going to come full circle, but just for the sake of this example. So take a minute and think of something, maybe a good way to say it would be something you're still kind of beating yourself up about. Just whatever that thing might be. Could be, I just had a consult and I really blew it. Or I had several consults and no one hired me. They all said no. And holy crap, this isn't working. This career isn't working. Or it could be an argument, or it could be a speaking engagement that you did, and at the end, nobody wanted to talk to you further. I don't know what it is, right? But these things happen, and then we kind of judge and beat ourselves up about. So take a minute, and let's have you, I'm going to ask you to use two different pieces of paper. So in your book, on the first piece of paper, just write down the event itself, what occurred. Just what is it that happened that is the thing you're still kind of upset about? Like I said, it could be personal. I'm using work examples. It doesn't have to be work examples, but like, you know, this thing happened and I'm still ruminating on it in my head. I shouldn't have said that. I should have done it differently. I should have, you know, does everyone have something like that, that they're still feeling some regret about or remorse? So I'll give you a minute because use something juicy. Okay. All right. Now, what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you, actually, you know what? No, let's share first. Are a couple of you guys willing to just share, oh, this is what happened. I'm still kind of beating myself up about it. Could I take a few examples of the kind of things that are coming up for people? Okay, cool. So Leslie, how do you want to do this? Someone just wave and we unmute them? Is that how you typically do it? Or do you use the raise your hand Zoom function?
Pretty casual combination of
wave dance. Who's willing to participate? Okay, awesome. I see Patty. Okay, so let's unmute you. Do I have the control to unmute her, or does she have to do it herself? You have to do it, Patty. Or Leslie, you can do it, or Patty can do it.
Did that work?
Yep.
Okay.
What's coming up for you?
Okay, the first thing that popped into my mind is something that I've been beating myself up for a very long time since I've started my own practice about a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. is I cannot get into a good routine, and I am consistently falling behind, and I always have that self-judgment of, after a year and a half, I should have my stuff together by now, and I don't, and why not?
Great, great. Not great that you don't have your stuff together. Great that you came up with.
I knew what you meant.
Come up with a good example of something that you're still kind of on yourself about.
All yes.
Right, so we're going to work more deeply on that, but that's a good example. I'd love a couple other people to just say, "What am I working on that I'm still kind of judging myself about, or feeling some anger or shame or fear about?" Who else is willing? Olga, Fantastic. Do you know how to unmute yourself? I don't have the controls. Great.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I couldn't think of anything that I beat myself up, but then when Patty mentioned this situation, I totally could relate, you know. I have a client, I have initial consultation, and then I say, I'll get back to you by the end of this week, and then I'm not ready by the end of this week because I'm trying to give them all together, together with exercises I mentioned before, together with supplements, with all the recommendations and 1 week meal template and I don't know what else. And then I'm getting upset, and then I feel like maybe also clients getting upset with me, and then I have to write them like intermittent message saying, I'm still working, you know, on your recommendations, and then I feel bad like I procrastinated and
got it. All right,
I could relate totally.
Good. Okay, that's another good. Thank you for sharing that you can relate to that.
Well, I'm gonna take one from you. Oh, and then let's see, I think we have Raquel as well. Awesome. So Barbara.
Yes.
Oh, wait, am I taking you off of mute and you were doing it?
Yes, I was doing the same thing simultaneously. So I could pick a couple of things for all of that, the above. So I would say in line with Patty, I've been wanting to have a virtual program in place. I have all of the ideas and I have like several things that I know I want to do. It's just that I feel like overwhelmed that everything has to be done now or should have been done last year, which I'm beating myself up. So I feel like I'm behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Great. How funny that we have three examples of kind of the same issue. You know what I mean? And you can be using this about anything. Like it can be something to do with, you know, the way I'm underserving my kids and the way I'm parenting them right now. Or, you know, so I just want you to know the exercise can be about anything. All right. Do any of the folks who are not on video and can't wave, but who would like to, how do we find out if they'd like to share because they're muted?
Well, I think we're going to take Raquel next.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. Yeah, go for it.
So she's off of mute and go ahead. Go ahead, Raquel.
Hi. Well, like everyone else said, yeah, I feel like can't get caught up, especially the last couple of weeks. I have a huge to-do list and things I feel like all need to be done and I just can't. But then I feel like I've got debt from all of this. Mm-hmm. So between, it makes me feel more pressure to mm-hmm. get things really going well. And mm-hmm. I feel like all that stress, it sometimes gets taken out of my kids in that I have a short fuse or mm-hmm. like my little ones are home right now. Should I be paying this much attention to a business versus them? So it's just like, it feels like an impossible juggling act. And I feel like crap about it almost all the time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. I think you're not alone. I think a lot of us who have kids at home now and run businesses are having some challenge around the balance. And I think it's interesting, you know, who wouldn't have some money fear right now? I mean, you probably wouldn't be human if you didn't have some money fear. And I'm gonna talk a little bit about that as well tonight, about what decisions do we make when we're in panic and what decisions do we make when we're kind of being mindful. But I really relate to that. Does everybody relate? Like, she's balancing things. She doesn't know she should be investing in this or that. Should she be focusing on the business? If there's a pandemic going on, very confusing times, right? Or if her kids are home, should she be giving her kids a lot more attention? Is this going to be a rare opportunity? And so anyone else get into your head like this with the chatter? Okay, cool. Good. I'm not alone. I don't know the best way. I was going to say, I do want the people who are on the phone only to be able to participate, but I don't know how they raise their hand. Leslie, you could potentially hit the button to unmute everyone and we could just ask, does anyone who's just listening in want to share? Okay. Did that work? Okay. No, everyone's still muted.
All right. Yeah. I just have to figure out how to do that.
There's like an unmute everyone.
No, I'll share. This is Kara. I'll share.
Okay, awesome. Kara, that would be great.
I just wanted to mention when you were talking about fear, shame, doubt, and all of that, mm-hmm. and you gave the example about fear and making constricted decisions and scarcity and all that. It just totally hit home because about, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks ago or so, I was so frustrated with the business not catapulting to where I wanted it to be. And, you know, the fear of not making an income, or yes, making an income, but not a sufficient income, that I literally called a friend and like that I knew was working somewhere and just said, hey, are you looking for anyone? And she responded immediately to me and said, actually, yeah, we're looking for a coordinator. It was like a coordinator for a dietetic program, you know, when okay. RDs are interning and to coordinate uh-huh. the whole process. And literally, like, she's like, can you come for an interview? I went that same day, I interviewed with her, and, you know, I was overqualified for the job and really nothing. I mean, I want to teach people how to eat clean and healthy and work with people with diabetes. I have no interest in helping interns get their internship. It was like nothing related to anything that I wanted to do, but it was that like very quick decision. Like, I'm just going to do this. It's a job. I get a 401k, I get paid, and it sounds easy. And I thought about it for like 12 hours, and then I just was like, what the heck are you doing, Kara? I mean, whatever voice that was, it was so scared at that one particular moment that it brought me to such a horrible place. But luckily, like, I just, you know, I spoke to my family and, you know, friends, and they're like, they just kind of brought me back to my senses and said, Kara, you know, if you want to get a job because you're so scared and you don't want to, you know, you think this is not for you, that's fine. But, you know, you really need to think about what it is you want to do. You can't just take the first thing that's dropped in your lap. And I mean, I would tell someone that absolutely at any given moment, but at that, I was just in such a like freaked out
yeah.
place that I just was like, I'll just take it. Mm-hmm. And then I had to call back and say, you know what? And I was very honest and transparent. And I said, I really didn't think this through, and it's, you know, I really need to continue working on my practice, and thank you so much for this opportunity, but it's just not a good fit for me, and I apologize, and I had to, like, put my tail between my legs and say thank you, but no thank you. But I hit that place, like, 6 weeks ago, and basically it catapulted me to take this class, because that was, yep. because I so didn't want to go at the place that I was going.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that. And I also give you huge, huge credit for recognizing, oh my God, I'm about to sign myself up for something that is not in line with my mission and not in line with the way I want to serve the planet, and was a fear-based decision, and actually stopping yourself. That's huge. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not looking to be perfect. I'm looking to see if I can get quicker at catching myself and getting back on track if I slip, right? If I slip right. into fear. I mean, I've been coaching for 20 years. And I still have to catch myself and go, oh, wait a minute. What would love say? What would trust say? Center, what would a loving decision be when my fear is the one in the driver's seat? Right. So I give you right. a lot of credit on that one. I really do.
Thank you.
And the thing is, and I'll just say, and then I'm going to go right back to where we left off, but I will just say, every one of you can build a flourishing practice. It's not happening out there. I promise you 90% of it is in here. I've coached so many people, so has Leslie. You can say, oh, the market's this, or oh, the market's that. I see new people getting into this field who have less experience than every one of you, who have the chutzpah and the conviction to go get clients, you know? And then I see wonderful, incredibly learned practitioners who have so much clinical knowledge, it's overwhelming. And they just aren't going to say, I will accept no other result except a full practice. It's just too scary. It's too hard. And I see them drop out. So much of this, and that's why we were doing this call so early in the academy, has to do with managing our thinking. That's what all of tonight is about, is how much am I falling prey to? It's too hard. I can't do it. It was just a fantasy, versus I am here to do this. I am here to shout it from the rooftops to everyone. We are such a freaking unhealthy country. I am here to shout from the rooftops that there is another way, that people don't have to be fatigued and depressed and sluggish and bloated and ill. And I'm so committed to that that I'm going to keep talking about it until people tell me to stop. And that's the attitude I want you guys to have, because that's what grows a practice, tenacity and conviction more than anything. Tenacity and conviction. So I just want to give you that little aside, because Kara made me think of it when she's kind of evaluating going and getting a JOB versus really saying, I'm going to make this happen. You decide whether this is going to happen, and then you just let the steps arise that are going to arise, because you've already decided this is happening. Now, you may not know exactly how am I going to get clients. Oh, this turned out to work out well. And oh, this thing didn't turn out to work as well. So I'll do more of this and I'll do less of that. And those are unknowns. But you have to have the conviction, this shall be. I shall have a full nutrition practice with people eager to pay me and committed to their well-being. And I want each of you to just hold that, because then it's just a question of, oh, trial and error, but I know where I'm going. All right, enough soapboxing. That's just how much I believe in you. And I know Leslie feels this way. We've talked about it a million times. If we could just get, you know, you guys, and I've been taught it, so now I've learned it from my coaches and mentors, to have the conviction that I create this practice more, 90% of it, 10% of it is a client who says no, or a referral partner who says they won't promote me. 90% is what am I telling myself every frigging day? That this is too hard, or that I trust this is going to happen, you know? So anyway, back to the exercise. So everyone have something now that you're beating yourself up about a little bit, or upset about, or you're still wishing you could have done it differently, or you're trying to figure out what you did wrong, even if it's generalized fear, because you can all use, if it's present, oh my God, I just don't know if this practice is going to take off. I don't know if my dream is going to happen. Even that, even just, I'm still in upset, fear, doubt, some shame, some worry. Even you could use that, you know, if you can't think of an exact thing. All right. So take a piece of paper, a fresh piece of paper, the second piece of paper, and put it in the up and down orientation, you know, like you were going to write on a notebook, and draw one line straight down the middle. So on the second piece of paper, I want you to draw a line straight down the middle. And then what we're going to do for a couple minutes is I'm going to have you on the left column. There's two columns, right? So on the left column, at the top, at the very top of the left column, I want you to write some words. I want you to write fear at the top. I want you to write negative self-talk under fear. I want you to write, inner critic. And I want you to write, let's see, what did I say? Fear, inner critic, negative self-talk. I gave you limiting beliefs. Let's put limiting beliefs up there. Okay. And then put a line underneath it, like that's the title of the column. Does that make sense? You've got those words at the top, and that's the title of that left-hand column. All right. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to write the messages that you're telling yourself about this thing that we started that you're upset about. It might be like, I mean, let me use mine. All right, let's say I had three consults in a row, which has happened to me before, and I really thought I nailed them. I put my heart and my soul and everything on the table, and I made an amazing offer, and I was like celebrating because I just knew I'd gotten clients from it, and all three of them came back and said, not now, not at this time, I'm not gonna sign with you. That's happened to me, and that's plummeted me for a little while until I use my tools to get out of it. So I'll use that one. Well, what might come on my left side if I sat down and I got quiet was, you know, you friggin' suck. You know, you're not good at this. You're not a good coach. Now, let me be clear. I'm not a nutritionist or a wellness professional or a dietitian, okay? I'm an executive coach, and I work in the personal growth field, but not specifically food and health, okay? So when I reference my own practice. But you know, you don't know what you're doing. You know, you don't even have a good assessment of yourself because you thought these were kick-ass consults and everyone said no. And maybe you shouldn't have even tried to do this career. You're never going to get enough clients. You're going to run out of money. You know, this whole thing was a pipe dream. Like, And it goes on. It gets worse, doesn't it? Like the first thing is, I don't know what I'm doing, which means I'm really not good enough, which means I'm not smart enough, which means this whole friggin' practice is a mistake, which means I better get a job. I better have a backup, because if I can't book clients, I'm not going to make money, you know? And you see how it churns, and it gets broader too. Like you're going to be in big trouble. You know, you're going to be in big financial trouble. Like this was a mistake. I wonder if we can still call so-and-so and get that old job back. Like, I mean, this is where my head goes in a circumstance like the example I'm using, where just fear is just churning in me and it's getting bigger and bigger. And it even starts from, you know, not only they didn't like me. I don't know what did I do wrong? That would be on there too. They didn't like me, or they didn't think I could help them, or they didn't think I was talented enough or smart enough to help them with what we were discussing. And maybe I don't even know I suck. I mean, who knows? All these things could be on that left-hand side. Does that make sense? And those are the loudest to me when I'm in a place where I'm in a lot of fear. Now, I may know that there are other parts of me that maybe don't feel that way, which I presented earlier, but this is the loudest voice at those parts. And it feels really, really real. And that's the part of me, like Kara, who might call someone and try to get a job. If once that left-hand column has gotten to that point where I'm like, you're in desperate straits, you better fix the situation. Does that example help? So what I'm going to ask you to do is take 5 minutes, and you'll only choose to share if you want to. So this is private. But take the event that you're thinking about, the being disorganized, the fact that, you know, it's a year later and Barbara, you still don't have your stuff together. You know, the things that you were all saying, you know, the things that Olga was sharing, Patty, you know, you're disorganized. And that means you really don't know what you're doing. And you're never going to succeed at this if you don't get it together. And maybe you're just not organized. And maybe this is just an excuse and you're just not willing to, I mean, who knows? That's where my head goes. Yeah, Patty's nodding. So let's take 5 minutes and just and write message after message after message after message that this fear voice, this inner critic voice, that negative self-talk is telling you. Please use the word you, not I. You're not good enough. What are you doing? You're never going to get enough clients. It's got to be you. I don't want you to own the voice. I want you to let it talk to you. All right, so let's take 5 minutes. I will be quiet. I will put a timer on. And just allow yourself to fill as long as it goes, even if you need a second page. Once again, the assignment now, someone's clarifying, is to allow yourself to write down that left-hand column all the negative self-talk about the thing that you're beating yourself up about. Thank you. Okay, take another couple minutes or another minute at least. Any fears that stem from this? Okay. All right, so let's bring our attention back together. And I'm going to ask again if a few people would be really willing to share some of the sentences, some of the thoughts that came down on that left side. You can tell us what the event was or not if you haven't shared already. But if a few people are willing to share, oh my God, I'm noticing I'm telling myself blah, 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 blah. Can I have a couple people willing to participate? Barbara, all righty. And Olga, okay, we have some participators repeating their participation, which is fine. Let's hear it. Let's see. Can I unmute you? Oh, there you go. Okay.
I'll unmute. So you're running out of money. You're not focused to create. Just one or two or
no, read. Just read. I'll tell you when to stop.
Oh.
Just go.
Okay. You don't have all the technology that you need, the skills that you need. You don't have enough energy to focus. You're not organized with your time. You're not knowing how to market. You're not a good salesperson. You don't have enough money to keep this going. You are... I have to be... You are all over the map. You have poor... let's say you are buying you're buying programs that may not be right fit. Maybe you are not focused in creating your insurance package. I kind of wrote that.
Okay.
I have more, but that's about.
And Kara is giving you the, that sounds about right for her as well. Your same criticisms. She's typed that into the chat. And Barbara, even deeper than that, you're not this, you're not this, you're not this, is, and you're going to fail because of those things, right?
Right. It's funny though. I just, this morning I had that, oh my God, panic anxiety feeling of like knowing that I had all this stuff to do, things that I want to get done. Mm-hmm. And I really just had to step back, calm my, just basically have nothing in my mind, kind of just meditate.
Good.
And once I did that, that when you relax, things start to flow. And good. I've noticed that.
Yeah. And again, this is only a part of us, this left-hand column. In fact, this is really a learned voice, this left-hand column. It's not the essential truth of you at all. It's a learned voice. It's a societal voice. It's a voice that tells us this person's good enough and that person's not. And am I higher status than this person or lower status than that person? Or, you know, this is a egoic survival mode voice on the left. We all have it, so there's nothing wrong. But I'm so glad you stopped and meditated and got back to center. So thank you also for being willing to share. This is not that easy to say, oh, these are all my, you know, negative self-talk and share it with a group of people. So I really appreciate it. Olga, you raised your hand as well.
Yes. Hi.
Yeah. Sure. Hi. Me? Yeah.
Okay. You don't know what you're doing. You can't lose weight yourself. How can you advise other people how to lose weight? You need to take some more training that you can apply in your practice. You aren't good enough. You don't know enough. You need, once again, more training. You struggle with food choices, food behaviors, overeating. How could you consult your clients? There must be some method that works, but you won't find it because you are not active enough.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. That was really vulnerable. And I'm thanking you because how many times have I said, because I've been a coach a long time, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. How can you advise people? How dare you mentor people? Your life is a mess. If your clients only knew. But I mean, so I really relate to that self-talk about how can you, you know, purport to be a representation of X, Y, and Z when behind the scenes, we know you're a fraud. Behind the scenes, you know you're a fraud. So thank you, because I know that you're not the only one tonight in this group who's had those feelings. Okay, one more person willing to share? Is anybody we haven't heard from who is willing to share some of the thoughts that came out on your left side? Okay, Alma, thank you. And then Caitlin, great. I appreciate it. Do you know how to unmute yourself, Alma?
There we go.
Yeah.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, sure.
So I have, you are too slow in getting anything started. You are spending more money or money that you don't have, and it's getting to be very expensive. You applied for a job, and in the end, that you've wasted all this time because you had to resign that job. And it could have been invested in your practice. There are others who know less than you and are doing a better job. You are not good with technology, like the younger generations, and you don't know enough to have everything down for seeing clients.
Thank you. Yep. Yep. Anybody relate to these? Anybody? Yes, of course. Of course, thank you. All right, and then Caitlin, were you willing to share? Did I see your hand before? Okay, great. Can you unmute yourself? Awesome.
All right, so I have the, I won't, you know, have enough clients to just kind of maintain a long practice. Won't successfully get people to reach their goals. People won't feel it's worth their time and money. Not getting the hang of social media and marketing and just putting myself out there that I can help people with their problems. And then just not growing in general. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, great. So thank you, because we've really got you guys participating, which is so, I'm so grateful, and really looking at, oh my God, I am telling myself these things. Now, you may not sit down and hear it in full sentences until I made you do the exercise, but these are the things that are bouncing around in there. This is the self-talk that's bouncing around in there. All right, so now what are we going to do? All right. Do me a favor, just sit and listen for a moment to what I want to share. You don't have to do anything. Close your eyes for a second. Everyone close your eyes, okay? What I'm going to ask you to do in a moment, not yet, is we're going to move to the right-hand column. And what I want you to do is allow God, or whether that means spirit to you, whether that's Jesus to you, whether that's your guides, your guidance, whether that's your own inner knowing or higher self, whatever God consciousness you have, whatever spiritual source to the divine you may have, I want you to allow that entity to guide your pen on the right-hand side. And in a moment, just listen please for a moment here, I'm going to have you take each sentence on the left, and I'm going to allow love, I'm going to call it love, okay, this wise voice. Sometimes I think of my inner wise woman, but people have all kinds of conceptions of spirit, God, the divine. I'm going to let that part where unconditional love resides respond in writing to each sentence that was on the left. Now, before we do that, I want to say, if you are someone who doesn't have that connection, who doesn't feel you can imagine the voice of God or God consciousness or your guidance or your guides or whatever spiritual being or internal being I'm referring to, then what I want you to do is imagine the part of you inside where unconditional love resides, and what you would say yourself to maybe one of your children or someone coming to you with these same self-criticisms, what you would say to them. So if you're having trouble letting God guide your pen or love guide your pen, imagine you were talking to someone, maybe, you know, maybe it's your 11-year-old saying, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, nobody likes me, and allow yourself to respond with what you might say to that person. Now, before we start, it's also okay if God or love or the divine speaks
in much longer paragraphs. And what I want to, what I want to express as an example, I notice that when I write, I'm just not smart enough, I screwed it up. God might write, hey, sweetheart, take a deep breath. You are so smart and so capable. And you might have gotten a little scared at this one consult. That's okay. But you know, and I do, at the root, you have so much to give other people. Now, that was five sentences in response to the one sentence on the left that says, I'm not good enough and I'm a fraud. So if the gentler voice on the right writes in longer paragraphs and says, hey, honey, let me remind you something. You're right where you're meant to be. Like, I just find I get five or six or seven sentences sometimes. So they don't have to line up across the paper perfectly. But what you'll do is you'll look at the sentence on the left and you'll just write whatever response comes from the place of love, God, spirit, and source. Whatever feedback you need to hear, then you'll move to the next one. You'll look at what's on the left and you'll just ask God to guide your pen. And whatever comes through from spirit or the other way of looking at it, I describe what your unconditionally loving place inside might say. And let's just, as an example, see what comes through. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to let God guide your pen. Take a moment now to ask spirit in whatever way you connect to spirit to please come forward. And even if there's a part of you that's thinking, I'm just writing what I want to hear. This is a bullshit exercise. This isn't really God. I'm just writing what I want. Go, oh, thank you for sharing. There's the inner critic. Thank you for sharing. You can take a side seat. I'm going to keep writing. I'm going to keep writing because that's just the inner critic. All right. So let's take a moment to ask God to come forward, unconditional love, to tell me the truth about the things that I've written on the left. And I'm going to give you a nice long window of time to write as much as comes through for each of the sentences on the left-hand side. So let's begin. Okay, I'm going to give you another 2 minutes. So keep going. All right, guys, so let's just wrap up that part. And you certainly can come back to it a little bit later. So I'm going to actually ask a couple people who shared before if you'd be willing to share what came through now on the other side, because I think drawing the left and then the right and then the left and the right together will actually kind of help. We'll see a little bit of how things played out. And I'm not going to go in the same order that you raised hands, so forgive me on that one. But Olga, can we start with you? Are you willing? Okay. So read the sentence again on the left to remind us, and then what was on the right, and then go back to the next sentence on the left, and one at a time.
Okay. You don't know what you're doing on the left, on the right. You might know everything who does, but you're really passionate about nutrition and helping others. You can't lose weight yourself. How can you advise people? Yes, you put some weight within last years, but you do look good still. And most importantly, you are healthy. You aren't good enough. You were told once, your clients will be your best teachers. Just remember that. You struggle with food choices, food behaviors, overeating. How could you consult your clients? Even though there is some struggles, but you eat really healthy 90% of the time, and that is a lot. It's okay to be not 100%. There must be some method that works, but you won't find it because you are not active enough. All your doubts are paralyzing you. Be kinder to yourself. You have it, and people feel it when they're around you.
And what was your experience hearing that back?
Healing.
You know, that voice came from in you. That wasn't me saying 90%, you're eating great and you don't have to be perfect. That came from you. You were able to access that love and that wisdom. Okay. All right. Let me see who else. I can't remember. We're going out of order. How about Caitlin? Caitlin, would you be willing to read what came through on the right-hand side? Again, go back and forth.
Yes. Mine just feels kind of all over the place, but okay. Some of it kind of went together, but okay. Just on not having enough clients to thrive, I just put the clients will come in time when everyone is ready, but they will come and you will thrive. On your own business adventure, on your own business ventures. With my messaging and not getting everyone to their goal. You will help so many clients find relief and comfort. You have already helped many make changes to last a lifetime. I won't get the hang of social media and marketing and putting myself out there. Do not stress over social media. You will get comfortable and great feedback. Get great feedback the more comfortable you get. Your business will grow and evolve with you, and changes will happen for the better.
And did that just flow out of you? Did you have difficulty or did it just come right through? I'm just curious. Mm. Caitlin, you got muted again. Can you unmute again, Caitlin? You're still muted again. You
got yes.
It. Yes, it was flowing. Okay, good. Really loving. Very, very loving. All right, this is fun. This is the fun part. Okay, Alma, let's hear from you. Are you willing?
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. So the you're too slow at getting anything started. Right side, I put you're doing things at the right time or when they need to happen. Take it easy on yourself. On the left side, you are spending more money than what you have and it's getting to be expensive. On the right side, you have finally taken the courage to invest in yourself and you will see the results when you put all the work into this. And then left side, you applied for a job that now you don't have and wasted 8 months that could have been invested in your practice. Right side, thanks to that job, now you have more resources. We're able to work with your niche and aside from knowledge and have more knowledge than you did before. And then the other one, there are others that may know less than you and are doing it. You're not good in technology, like the younger generations. Everything is a learning process and you will learn how to master those things that you think you are terrible at. You need to give yourself credit for what you're doing right now. And then you don't know enough to manage your own practice. Right side, you do actually know that you are good enough and have immense experience where people have told you how you help them improve their lives.
Great. Great. How was that for you?
It wasn't difficult. I think I recognized immediately. my faults, where I think I am and the solutions. And it did remind me that, we have the light. We just don't see it sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. And Barbara, are you willing?
So I kind of lumped some things together, like running out of money and not being. So I said, you have what you need. And when you need it, I am God. I am there, meaning God. I am there to provide and guide you. So you have what you need to create your joyful income generating business. That's been my mantra. You are super you don't have enough technology or energy and focus. So in the flip side is you are super organized and creative and able to follow through on ideas and you know where to find and when to find help or attract what you need to accomplish your goals. Mm. God saying, I am there to provide and show you where to find it, the technology, the focus, to where to focus and where to be more organized. And the third thing was marketing and sales. Like, I don't feel like you are not a good salesperson or a good marketer. And then I have here, I am God, and I know you know how to connect and network and be authentic to people. And especially in my arena, my target audience, in the midst of, for that particular audience. So you know where to find the services that, you know where to find your service. They would know where to find your services. They want your services. You don't have to sell them. They sell themselves. You are attracting the right buyers of your services. You look at me, God, for help rather than looking at the internet. You will make me. Well, sometimes if we just focus on within and not the noise that's around us, that usually helps. You will make money as soon as you create your packages. You will want this. You will want this. They will want this. So it's being, you already are there. It's just, you don't have to market. You are, if you are your authentic self. That's,
I love that one. Yeah, we have this thing we call marketing. It's just relationship building, guys. Everyone knows how to build a relationship. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Now, what I want to put forth here is that each one of you found a place inside for that counsel to come through. I didn't write it for you. I didn't zap through and write it for you. You know, everyone who shared, and I hope the others of you had a similar experience, you found a place inside that could look at the negative self-talk on the left and really debunk it and say, that's not the truth of who you are. That's not how things are. You're right in the right place. This is the best investment you could have made. You're believing in yourself and your dream. You're putting your effort behind serving the people you're called to serve. You know, God wouldn't, or I wouldn't have given you this passion only to fail. You know, you are where you need to be. I heard one of you said, you have all the resources. You know, it's okay to be imperfect and keep moving forward. There are so many people who are waiting for you to serve them, who would even in your imperfection, would benefit so much from the things you already know. And I'm paraphrasing what I heard from different people. I'm not saying I said the exact sentences, but we all heard messaging like that in what everybody just read, didn't we? So the point I want to make tonight, and you know, this, you're in a business training program, the Six Figure Biz Academy, and this might feel like kind of a woo-woo conversation we're having tonight. But the point I want to make is what we tell ourselves every day influences whether we pick up the phone or not. You know, if I'm telling myself I'm not good enough, I don't know what I'm going to say, I'm a fraud, I really shouldn't be doing this, I'm going to sit upstairs and I'm going to isolate. If I focus on, I've been given this passion because I'm meant to serve. Who can I help today? I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to just see who I can help. And I, as someone who's 20 years, I started my practice in the year 2000 when coaching was really brand new. And I'd gotten a master's degree in psychology and a spiritual psychology degree and all this stuff. I, to this day, I pull out my notebook. This is my handiest tool. I write the line right down the middle whenever I'm feeling stressed. And I say, what am I telling myself right now? What am I telling myself? Because if I feel my body shaking, if I feel I'm nervous, if I feel I'm depressed, if I feel I'm in fear, best sentence ever. What am I telling myself right now? And that's a writer downer for real. What am I telling myself right now? And I grab the piece of paper and I write the line down the middle. What am I telling myself? Same thing with coronavirus. What am I telling myself right now? Oh my God, we're going to lose all of our money. You know, your mom and dad could die. You know, you're going to lose all your clients. I mean, you know, it's crazy, but it's great to get it out on paper because then I can say, okay, God, Spirit, please guide my pen. What would you say? What would you say? Help me. And it's not like God just says, you're not going to lose all your money. And yes, you will have an abundance. It's not like a game of opposites. Like, I'm not smart enough. Yes, you are smart enough. And I'm in fear. Well, you shouldn't be. It's, you understand what I'm saying? What comes through is like, you know what, kiddo? Things may shift a little and you're still going to be okay. Yeah. A couple clients may leave. A couple new ones who desperately need you may come. But keep going out in service and you're going to be fine. Do you understand the difference, that the opposite game? This is not just a silly exercise of, you know, I'm not smart enough. Yes, you are smart enough. You know, if I write, I'm not smart enough, God might write, honey, I know sometimes you feel nervous. You really want to serve so powerfully. You really want to make sure you have enough to offer. But even as an imperfect person, remember how much you have to offer that really helps people, and focus on service. So very different than just a bullshit exercise about opposites. It's really allowing God, or allowing your inner wisdom or your higher self or your inner wise woman to help you. And the bottom line is, we get to choose which side every day we're going to listen to. We just do. That's the choice. Which voice am I going to indulge? Which I mentioned at the beginning, right? That we have these different voices. It's okay. As I was giving you some instruction, I said, if a voice comes up that's criticizing the exercise, you say, thank you for sharing. Duly noted. I love those six words. When my inner critic comes up and tells me why I wasn't good enough, or why this person doesn't like me, or why I'm going to screw something up, I've gotten faster at recognizing it. Recognizing, oh, that's the left-hand column voice. And I go, thank you for sharing. Duly noted. I'm still going to make the phone call. They're going to say no. Thank you for sharing. Duly noted. I'm still going to put in an application to speak at this conference. You know, so you start to have this awareness of, I'm not letting that left side be in the driver's seat. Because if I do, I won't go out and be a stand for clients. I won't put out my next blog post. I'll withdraw from the program that I'm in, like this program, out of fear, instead of saying, I'm even more convicted that I'm going to have a successful and passionate nutrition practice. And I'm going to, like, people are looking at health right now, you guys, more than anything in the world. It's all about health. You're probably the luckiest niche on the planet, you guys, right now. You know what I mean? Right? So the reason I give you this exercise, and I take a notebook and I throw that line down the middle, is I want you to always have this exercise, because often my left-hand column is initially much louder, especially when something happens and I go, like Kara did. Oh my God, I got to go get a job. Like initially that left side is very loud. And I go, wait, slow down. What would God say? What would love say? What would the voice of unconditional trust say? And I write it out and I read it and I decide, which side do I want to indulge? Which side do I want to listen to? And what I'll often do is reread the right-hand side every morning for like 2 weeks. So after I do this exercise, and I tell clients to do it too, like Barbara, for example, because she just had this beautiful thing about being right where she needs to be, having the clients, you know, are coming, she's being taken care of. I'd say, Barbara, every morning, get this paper out. Don't read the left, because that's not even worth giving any credence to. Just read the right-hand column top to bottom every morning for just a moment for 2 weeks, because we teach ourselves what voice we're going to indulge and believe. And when you're in love, and when you're in self-compassion, and when you're gentle, and when you're saying it's okay not to be perfect, keep serving. People need what you have. Keep serving. That's what's going to come out on the right, and it's going to get us less invested in what do people think of me. Have you noticed that the left side is all about what's going to happen to me, and what people think about me, and whether they think I'm good enough, and whether they think I'm smart enough, and whether they're going to pay me? And the right-hand side is all about, you're here to do something. Keep focusing on what you're doing, and you're safe, and you're loved, and you're taken care of. And if we can have this mindset awareness, we will build very, very different businesses from the right-hand column than from the left-hand column. And that's why Leslie likes to put this discussion early in the course, because it's going to influence every decision you make and how you play in the course. You know, now this is a time where people are getting constrictive. Are you going to say, I'm in, I'm fully in, this is a great time to get my niche clear, my package is clear, exactly what the different elements are, I'm going to practice the enrollment conversation, I'm going to write blogs, I'm going to do a beautiful website, I'm going to be ready to hit the ground running? You know, that's what I would choose, right? That's what I would choose right now as an opportunity. So let's open it up for questions or discussion, or wow, this resonated for me, or it didn't, or, you know, I had a hard time with this part, or I loved that part, or any other questions about mindset and self-talk. I'm just going to open it for comments and questions. So wave or hit the raise hand button if I can't actually see you visually. Kara, you can go first. I saw your hand. But but I see several people who we don't see your video. So if you'd like to somehow let us know you want to share. Go ahead, Kara.
I think I lost it for a second, what I was going to say. I just have so many thoughts in my head right now. What was your question again? I'm so sorry. Like my head.
It was really anything that resonated for you in this. We're talking about which voice to indulge as we build our businesses. Any comment you might want to make or sharing. If you had any trouble with this, you can certainly also say, I need help with this. I had a hard time or this other thing came up. It's just kind of open sharing.
Right.
That didn't help you, did it?
Yeah, I don't even know what the heck I was thinking. You can go to somebody else.
We'll come back. That's totally fine. Absolutely. Who wants to make a comment or ask a question? Patty, sure.
Okay, I had one that I had on my left-hand column that I had trouble finding something on the right hand, like a positive, the kind of, you know, change that distorted thought was, and this is something that I've always heard all my life, is if there's a hard way to do it, I'm gonna find that hard way, even though the easy way is standing right in front of me. And that's something I always tell myself is, you know, you are making this so much harder than it has to be. And that's not just work, that's everything. And I really had a hard time, so I didn't know if anyone had any thoughts of what is a positive way to reframe that.
Oh, well, so reframe that you always make things harder than they have to be?
Yeah, like what would be a good example of what you can put in the right-hand column for a thought such as, like you are making this so much harder than it has to be, why are you doing that to yourself?
Okay, well, I have an idea, but let me ask you. So do you have any kids?
I have two.
Okay, and are they grown up now, younger?
A senior in college and a freshman in college.
Okay, so take one of your kids and imagine them at age 10, okay? One of your kids, tell me what name you're gonna use, which child?
We'll take Tony, my son.
Tony, okay, comes to you at 10 and says, I always make things so difficult. I swear to God, I get in my own way. I make things so difficult all the time. And he's on your lap. He's really emotional. What would you say?
I'd probably tell him to take a deep breath, to slow down, and pick one aspect of what he's struggling with and tackle the problem one at a time and see if that makes it easier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what would you say about, that's great. And what would you say as well about the beating himself up you were noticing? Because he's beating himself up saying, Mom, I always make things so hard and complicated.
Probably just it's not worth beating yourself up over. But that sounds almost like I'm placating and not really coming up with a good answer.
Beautiful answer. Telling someone that they don't deserve to shame themselves when they're doing the best they know how. That's a beautiful answer.
You know, like it's not worth
it. That's what I might say to you is, hey, it's okay that sometimes you make things harder because you're doing the best you can and your mind is going so fast. But do you have the best of intentions? Are you trying your best? Okay, so slow down. Maybe we'll like you said earlier, this is your words. Slow down, take things one piece at a time, and you're not intentionally making things harder. You're just going so fast and you're doing the best you know how with the skills that you have. That's what I might write on the right. Honey, you're okay. And it's even okay that sometimes you make things too hard because you're trying so hard. It's all right, baby. Just breathe. You see what I'm saying? You actually answered it. I'm rephrasing it a little bit.
Yeah, no, I like it. It sounds good. Thank you. I appreciate the feedback.
You're welcome. And I wanted to use Tony because if you're stuck, if that inner critic is really in the driver's seat, and you can think of your own child, if you have one, or someone you care about, and it usually helps to think of them in a younger age. They might not be in the same circumstance that you are. Like my 8-year-old wouldn't come to me and say, I just had 3 consultations and no one hired me, you know, but she may come to me with, people don't like me. And I was trying to impress some other people and I thought they liked me and I got rejected. she'd come to me with that. So the circumstance, don't worry about that. It's just imagine the feelings. What would I say to her? Well, you blew it. You know, you obviously weren't good enough. If none of those people like you, you obviously didn't impress them very much. Would I say that to an 8-year-old child? So that's why I asked about Tony. It can help as a tool for all of us to open the compassion button, you know, or valve or whatever. You know, what would I say to somebody really, really hurting and hard on themselves? And then don't I deserve the same amount of self-love? Don't I deserve the same amount of self-compassion from myself? I want you to walk away tonight with a commitment to self-compassion and self-love and saying to yourself, kiddo, you're doing the best you can. You got the best of intentions. You're committed. You're scared. Of who wouldn't be scared? Stop shaming yourself for sometimes being scared. Say, yeah, you're scared. You're an entrepreneur. You're going out and trying to hang out a shingle and grow your own business. You're trying to sit in the role of expert and help other people. That's scary. And keep focusing on serving. You got a lot to give. You know, so it just dissipates it all. Does that help, Patty?
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much. I like the approach of how would you respond to someone else rather mm-hmm. than how would I respond to myself. So I really love that approach.
There's two ways to look at it. God can guide your pen, or you can imagine someone you know your heart would open to, that you'd never say, well, you're a fucking loser. Forgive my language, guys. But you know what I'm saying? You wouldn't say that. Keeping it real.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sure. Anyone else comment? Or, oh, Carrie, you remembered what you wanted to say. All right, unmute.
Okay. Well, what's so funny is one of my negative self-talk is my issue with ADD, which just came out in just now, and I get so mad at myself because I think about so many things so much that I don't remember what I was doing. I mean, I think it's especially happening a lot now because I'm trying to do so many things during this pandemic that like I can't remember what I'm doing. But anyway, what I wanted to say was the whole exercise with the negative self-talk was so interesting because I actually, I don't know, about a year or so ago within my practice, found a bunch of articles, really good articles about, you know, negative self-talk and just a lot of psychology around the way that we think about things and why we do things. And I always send certain articles to certain clients that I think is relevant because what I hear them say, and then I'll send them this article. I'm like, you really need to read this article. It will really resonate with you because, you know, when you were saying, you know, I don't know. I say I don't want to eat at night, but every night comes and I eat and I can't help, like all the things that they, you know, beat themselves up about. But what I realized was that like, that's an entire session. Like I'm wasting my time sending that into an email after we had the session when I could be totally utilizing it as part of that like quote unquote signature program. So I just wanted to say thank you because one of my issues that I have so much problems with is creating this structure of this signature program so I can charge a whole lot of money. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't even know what to put in there. And the truth is that there's so many things that I just put in addition to what I put in during the visits that I'm adding it and I'm not making it a part of the program and I'm just giving it away. And it's like, I just had an aha moment. Like,
great. You know, yeah, so, guys, do beliefs work with your clients? Okay. Because if your clients are shaming themselves and beating themselves up for breaking the food plan, right?
Right.
So I'm on a food plan right now and I work with an integrative nutritionist and I sometimes have slipped and really had a hard time on the food plan. And there's a big difference if I went to you friggin' loser, you're going to be fat and unattractive. You may as well throw in the towel. You have no friggin' willpower. I don't know what's wrong with you. You know, and that's what some of your clients are shaming themselves when they can't stick to new behaviors.
And if right, and they never want, they don't want to come, like if we have an appointment scheduled a week later.
They
want
to cancel it, right?
They postpone it is what they do is they like postpone it an extra week. And I always encourage them, this is a teachable moment. Let's talk now. Yeah. But they don't want to because they're like the, you know, the fees for hours or whatever you call it. It's like, they don't want, they want to utilize the time when they think they're doing good. And I'm saying, no, this is the time to utilize me, but they,
they still don't want to because they're shamed and all of that stuff. So it just makes so much sense that it's just a program. So it doesn't matter how many times we talk. It's like, we just talk when you need to talk. And, you know, as long as I feel like I'm getting, you know, reciprocated for my time, just like they, I think it's sort of like the same thing with us as it is for them. Like, you know, they feel like they want to get their money's worth, and we feel like we want to get our money for all that we're giving them. And it's like the same both ways. Really.
Well, I welcome you guys using exercises, and this one in particular, if you'd like to, with any of your clients, and doing it in the real session and looking at what you're telling yourself. And what if there was a loving voice? Because it's from a loving voice that I choose not to pick up the things that aren't loving for me to eat. Not from, you better not eat that because you're a fat ass loser if you do. And I hate how you look, and that is not allowed, and you are not allowed a bite of that. And you know, no one keeps a food plan with that voice. People keep a food plan from, honey, I love you. You're enough. You're beautiful. And you know what? That particular food doesn't make us feel good, sweetheart. That particular food doesn't make us feel good. I love you. What if we did something else loving right now instead of reaching for that food? Like teaching them how to cultivate this voice on the right instead of the voice on the left. That's like, you can't, you can't, you can't. Well, then, you know, when someone tells me I can't, I can't, I can't, my little girl, another part of me, rebels. My teenager digs in her feet or heels and says, I'm freaking having that. You know, but when the right-hand side, that same voice is, honey pie, it's not that you can't have it, you can. And you're no worse a person if you eat that, if you don't, you're a child of God. But the truth is, I know you have this long-term goal and you'll feel so much better. And I'm right here with you. What else could we do that would be more loving? Teach your clients the distinction of the left-hand side and the right-hand side. They will keep their food plans if they don't shame themselves. If their shame or their self-worth is hanging in the balance, it's so tough. I'm good if I ate well today. I'm bad if I didn't. No, you're loving and you're doing the best you know how. And even if you binged, I as your dietitian or nutritionist, I will meet you with nothing but compassion. I want you to know that from session number one. That is you meeting core needs. That food is meeting some core needs that your little girl inside has. And what we're going to do together is find a loving way to meet those needs outside of the binging. Do you understand what I'm getting at? That's why all this mindset stuff is so meaningful to me. It's going to help all your clients too. If they stop beating themselves up and start loving themselves, that's when you actually see the compliance in your clients. They'll comply with supplements and food plans when they're being self-loving, not when they're beating themselves up. So I'm off on a tangent, except to say, like, teach these use them and teach these concepts too. Because with any goal we have, including I want to lose weight, I want to get healthy, I want to build a profitable nutrition business, it doesn't matter. Our self-talk is dictating whether we get there or whether we don't. Does that make sense? All right, cool. We were going to stop at 90 minutes and we're at the 90 minute mark. Does anyone have a burning desire of a question or something they feel that they wanted to add? And let's see, is anybody asking anything? Barbara, but I suggested a name for the session. Did I? I don't think I suggested a name.
I don't know if it was a name, but you said something. I could go back to the recording. I think it was just
remember.
Maybe behavior change.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm so sorry. Yeah, but you could say, I want to do some mindset work. I want to do some self-talk work. Because if you're shaming yourself, if you're good if you behave well, but you're bad if you don't, we've got a problem. This is a program where it's about self-love no matter what. And that if we see behaviors we want to change, we use it as an information moment, as a reference point. Huh, what was happening that day I really felt I needed to make this decision that wasn't self-loving? We're going to be little investigators. But you tell your clients this is a place of unconditional love from day one and model it and teach them this stuff, really. All right, sorry. I care about this a lot. I think you guys are in a wonderful program. The Six Figure Business Academy is the best friggin' deal on the planet. I was a part of Leslie's designing it. She ran stuff by me. I said, oh my God, you're putting that in. Oh my God, you're putting that in as well. Oh my God, you're putting, like, seriously, honey, this is like a year's worth of material. And she said, I want to have it all in there, and they'll have the success library. And even if they don't execute in the same like pace at which I'm teaching it, I want them to have a year of tasks in the 6-month program. And I just acknowledge you. Remember that the conviction is going to get you there. You decide I'm going to have a full practice, and I'm going to keep serving and shouting from the rooftops that people don't have to suffer in all the different ways that look. If you're not a social media person, forget social media. There are so many ways to get clients. Do not feel you need to be doing Facebook Lives, and you need to be a social media expert, and you need to hire someone for SEO. There are a million ways to get clients. Go out and ask, who can I help today? Pick up the phone. How can I help? Who can I help? Find your own way there. And then Leslie's going to give you so many choices, and pick and choose the ones that resonate. You don't have to do everything Leslie teaches. Pick and choose the ones that resonate. Okay? All right, last call for anyone who needs help or has a comment. Last call. All right, I think we're complete, Leslie.
Yay, thanks, Barb. That was awesome.
Good. You're all welcome. My pleasure.
It was just wonderful. Thank you, everyone, for being vulnerable and sharing. It really made this a really rich session, really, for everybody. So thank you for that. All right. So I'm going to let you all go. And I look forward to seeing you Wednesday. Thanks again, Barb. Have a great night, everybody. Bye-bye.